2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, Now Joab the son of Zeruiah perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. When the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance, and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them. But the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid, and they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also, and so they shall quench my coal which is left. The title of the message today is Quenched Coals. I want to preach to you today how important it is to hand something down. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I'm begging you today that you would ignite a fire in our folks. Let them know, Lord, that we've got to pass something on. We've got to. Lord, there's not much truth out there anymore. All the truth is contained in your word, but Lord, the devil has done such a good job in changing it around and perverting it. Lord, many folks don't even know what the truth is anymore. Lord, help us. Help us to look to you today to get a renewed fire in the coals that we pass on. Lord, I'm asking you this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'm using this text because when I was reading the Bible here, it moved my heart, and I started thinking about the life of a family. I started thinking about names, and just please stick with me for a moment. My wife and I, when we very first were married, we were praying to have children. It didn't take us long. Not many prayers for that. We had Natalie just a little over a year into our marriage, and I was praying for a boy, she was praying for a girl, and you see who was closer to God. We had Natalie for a while, and we decided we were going to have another baby. I prayed for a boy. We got Tiffany. Starting to question my faith and availability to the throne room of God. Finally, I convinced my wife to pray with me for a boy, and we finally got our boy. Now, when Luke was born, I named him Luke David. That wasn't an accident. The vast majority of you, and you can use Brother Rod as an example, you've got Rod the 1-2-3, you've got Bill the 1-2-3, even Bobby has Robert Austin. You put your name on your generation after. Why? Because you want your name to go with them. Now, my brother and I are the last that I know of, the last of the Ballard men, at least in our family. And listen, I just stay with me for a moment. I saw my brother being 30 years old, still not having a baby, and I started to be concerned. And the reason I was concerned is I was wondering, would we have another Ballard after us? I want you to think about that for a minute. There's a lot of names that have ceased because the coals went out. There's a lot of names, and that's what this woman is worried about here. And understand this. I understand that Joab put these words in her mouth, but I want to use your mind today, and I want to get you to think about something. My family name, the Ballard name, is something that I wanted to be able to pass for another generation. It doesn't happen unless you have a boy, because the girls get married and the jerk takes my name off. So, and I'm not into hyphenated names. So I'm not against whatever. You do what you want, but I'm not into hyphenated names. I think when the girl gets married, she ought to take my name. Tammy took my name. And as big and tough as he is, he was all right with that, okay? But this is the point, though. The point is, I wanted the Ballard name to continue. I didn't want the family name to stop with me. Now, thankfully, we had a son, Luke, and Luke, if he gets married and has children, then hopefully he has a boy and the name will continue. The coal will not go out. It will not be quenched. It will not be stopped. And if you think about this, how many of us got our name from somebody higher up in our family tree? Almost every single person in this room got your name from somewhere up the tree. Both of my names were, my daddy gave me David. My middle name was William for my grandpa. Okay? So your names, the vast majority of the time, are names that you get stamped with to pass it down the line. You do that because you want your name to be a mark on the next generation. You want yourself or your family name to be remembered. I wanted there to be more Ballards after me. I didn't want to die and have my coal quenched with me. I didn't want the last generation of Ballard to end with Dave Ballard. I wanted there to be more to come after me. She was praying or asking this king, and I understand, again, this is a words that Joab put, but she was concerned, and she brought this to the king saying, I don't want this heir to die, because if this heir dies, my name or my coal goes out with it. It was important to pass on the name. It was important to pass on the name because you want that name to continue. Sometimes you have family members that aren't so good. Sometimes you have family members that are good. But irrelevant, the name stays lit. The name stays going. You can go up your family tree. Some only have to go up a couple of branches to find branches that you wish would have been pruned off at one time or another. Every family's got them. My family's loaded with them, so don't act like you got anything worse than I do. But understand this. It's still, at the end of the day, they are my family. At the end of the day, that Ballard name, that name has to stay alive. That name is very important. And I know we're not Rockefellers or Carnegies, but to me it's important that my son will now keep his name, unless he changed it to Meta World Peace or something like that. My son will keep my name. I'm telling you right now, glory to God, I'll bust him in his mouth if he ever changes. I worked hard for that name. But I want that name to continue. Now, my son isn't Junior. My dad played a wonderful trick on me. My dad's name is David. My dad's middle name is Warren. His last name, of course, just like mine, is Ballard. But if you take his name and his middle initial, we are identical. We ran into a lot of problems growing up. When I started getting driver's licenses and stuff like that, they didn't know William Warren. Which one are you? You can't just use W. But the family name was what was important. We wanted that to pass on. We wanted to be remembered for that name. The more I got to thinking about this, and believe me, I want you to understand something. You're going to pass something on. A lot of folks think, well, you know, your coal will be quenched. My life is going to pass on through my daughters as well, but not my name. But my life will. And by the way, Natalie's middle name is Rose. Guess who she's named after? So you got to understand something. I will pass something on to my children. I will pass on through my life, and I don't want what is in my life to stop being in their life. Now, this is all foundational truth, because what I want you to think about today, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, I want to make you think. And this is what gripped me. I don't know what I'm going to pass on to the next generation of Christians. Because there's a name that's above every other name. And I, please, I may not get excited and run up and down today, but this got very emotional for me because I'm worried. I'm worried that we aren't passing on to the next generation and we're letting the coal be quenched. Yeah. We're letting the coal be quenched of Christ, who went to that cross for us and died for us. We're letting the coal be quenched because we're not trying to pass on that name. We're not concerned with that name dying out. I'm going to mention a few specific things. And honestly, I just want you to think. It's no accident that my son looks like me. Boy, is he cute. Get her some water quick. It's not a surprise that my son acts like me. The teachers regret it. It's no surprise that we have the same mannerisms. It's no surprise. What I'm asking you is this. Is it any surprise that your family looks like you, talks like you? You look at your children, or you, if you don't have kids, you look at your family, and it's always, they look like mama, or they look like daddy. My son is mini-me. Everyone says that. And I watch my kids, and I look at them, and I'm excited about them. And I was so thrilled. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me that child, and I'm going to give him back to God. I just want to give him back to God, and I want him to do all those things. But understand this, in the game of life and in the thought process of life, Christian, you've got to start thinking of this. What are you passing on to the generation next to you for Christ? Will the coal of Jesus Christ, who saved you, who died for you, loves you very much, who prays for you, who talks to you, who listens for you, who has mercy on you, will he die with you? Will the coal stop with you? I want you to think for a minute now. No, Brother Dave, I promise you, I'm doing the best I can. Well, I want you to think, and this is where I thought. Oh, this ripped my heart out. I don't want to raise just kids. Yeah. Come on now. I don't want to raise just kids. But I got to thinking about this, and it broke my heart. How many people have I won to Christ that are soul winning now? Oh, no, you. Oh, it's quiet and I'm glad. This tore my heart out. How many people have I won to Christ that are soul winners now? Because unless you make some soul winners, your fire dies with you. You say, well, Brother Dave, I can't force them to soul win. No, but you keep winning them until you get one. And I'm not against just soul winning. I'm not against with that soul winning. But listen, are we training the people that we win to Christ? Are we making another step to pass on what you love so much? I mean, I did everything I could. Good Lord, we got books. We did all these things so I could have a son. So I could pass on my name. I would to God my son's a preacher. Why? Because I want to have another preacher. I don't want it to die with me. I understand God's got to call them in. Please don't misread me. Don't get pharisaical on me. But understand this. I want to raise a group of kids and a group of people and a group of Christians all around me that the fire doesn't go out when I'm gone. Preacher talks all the time. Silver hairs are going off the scene. Listen, the truth's going off the scene. There's a lot of silver hairs that don't have the truth. It worries me. Why? Because the quenching of this coal has been going on for so long. The lack of desire to pass on what we know. Not only to pass on what we know. Brother Rod, do my kids see me read the Bible so much that they want to be Bible readers? What am I passing on to them? What am I passing on to you? As your associate pastor, who gets the joy of having the mic on? Brother Bill, what am I passing on? Am I passing on the little puffy, little fuzzy messages that everybody just go home happy? Or do I want to make you think we are in a battle in the last days and the coals are going out one by one by one? The coals that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for to pass on to generation to generation. We're not making soul winners. We're not making Bible readers. We're not making prayer warriors. Why? Because you don't pray. How can you expect the people around you to be prayer warriors, to be at this altar begging God? Listen, Christian, you are the ones that the coal is still burning in. Don't let it die with you. Don't let it stop with you. This lady's begging the king because she wants her son, her prodigy, her father, her husband's son to go on and continue the name. Christian, I want the name of Christian to continue, but not the worldly name of Christian. I want the truth that God has given us to move on. What am I doing about it? I don't want to just win souls. Dr. Hiles preached a message one time talking about reproducing reproducers. And I'm going to tell you right now, Christian, you need to get in your head that we've got to do more than just go out and tell people. We've got to do more than just go out and win people. We've got to disciple them. We've got to care enough to make more that are like us, not like us human, like us in our desire to win more. I want the kids in the BBCA to know what Bible verses are, not so they can just get them and hold them, so that they can teach others also. It's not good enough that he just stands up here and preaches to you. It's not good enough. It's not good enough that he stands and reads and studies. It's not good enough. He's got to pass it on to the next generation. He's got to give it, and he's got to make sure that he's got a coal underneath him that's ready to take the banner and hold the banner high and keep on going. There's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody in this room today that says, you know what, you're right. I haven't been keeping up my end of the bargain. There's kids that are counting on me. More than that, there's a God that's counting on you. And as I read this and listened to this lady plead with the king, say, I don't want my coal to be quenched. Let me tell you something, Christian. I don't want my coal to be quenched. I don't want it to end with me. I didn't want the Ballard name to go out because I couldn't produce a son. I know that sounds vain. I understand. Whatever. But more than that, I don't want my name as a Christian, as a Baptist preacher, to fade with me. I don't want the coal to go. Listen, I'm 42 years old. I know I'm a young kid. I get that. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Well, I'll be old and gray-headed one day. You may not. You may not make it to old and gray-headed. Does the fire of Jesus Christ go out with you? Have you produced somebody underneath you that comes to church? I don't want to make a person. I don't want to make somebody and teach them and disciple them to not do anything. Are we willing to report to our God that we didn't go out soul winning? Does the name die with you? And the reason I'm preaching this to you is because it's me. I'm not after you. I'm after me. Does it end with me? Does the coal go out with Dave Ballard? Does the coal go out of Jesus Christ with me? I didn't do what I'm supposed to do unless you're reading your Bible. I believe that. You say what you want. I don't want you to come into this church and leave without opening your Bible. I don't want you to come into this church and have Brother Dave bring up a couple of stories, a minuet, a little song, a little sermonette, and then have you walk out happy, happy, but unfulfilled. I thought to myself, man, if my brother doesn't produce a son, our name is done. Then I had Luke. I was so excited. I really was. You ever been excited? Man, oh. I guarantee you, when Bobby held you in his arms, he was excited because you were his son, a son. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with girls. They're the greatest thing ever. Believe me, the girls are much better than the boys. Trust me. But understand this. I'll get it. Understand this. When he held you in his arms, son, and he put Robert, we call you Austin, but your name is Robert. Why did he do that? He wants you to have a mustache someday, son. He's working on that. You won't change to Robert until you grow a mustache. You're Austin until then. Why? Because he wanted that son, and he wanted that name on him, and he wanted the shell name on him. Why? Because that's his name, and he wanted to pass that on. Well, let me tell you something. I'm an old leather-lung Baptist preacher bringing down the fire and brimstone, and if you don't lie, that's okay. It's the way I'm constrained to do it. God called me to this, and I want to pass that on to somebody. I don't want it to end with this 42-year-old. I want it to go on. I want it to go on to a next generation, the next generation, and the next generation, so the coal and the fire doesn't die with me. What am I doing about it? And the amen stopped. You say, well, Brother Dave, you're a preacher. You ought to want that. You're a Christian. You ought to want that.
Yes, that's right.
God is merciful. Man, he loves us. Good night, he loves us. What bothers me is when God gives you a gift. Pick what you want. Go into the Bible and look through all the gifts. If you think you're relegated to one gift, fine. But when I teach about gifts, many people have more than one gift. So I'm a prophet. I'm this. I'm that. You know what? You might be more than what you think. Quit selling yourself short. God loves you. He made me a preacher. For better or for worse. A lot of times worse. He gave me that gift. What do I have to do with it? Some of you can speak well. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about talking to somebody about the Lord that loves you. I'm talking about making those people want to talk to other people. Reproducing reproducers so it doesn't end with you. See, a long time ago, a man called Richard Skiver stepped out from a bar and said, there's got to be more to life than this. And God said, there is. Stay out of the bar. I'm calling you to something greater. He comes along and says, you know what, God? I'm going to start a church down on Galena Street. Glory to God, he started that church in 1980. In 1981, at 11 years old, little punk snot-nosed brat comes with his aunt and uncle to church. What happens if he doesn't start the church? Let's rewind a little bit further. And I want to get you to think about this because his coal did not go out. Who led him to Christ? Now, come on now. I want you to think with me for a minute. There's a man that led him to Christ. And somebody told him about Christ. Somebody did their job in front of that old green couch. $110 for the whole set. Somebody told our preacher about Christ. And he got down and got saved. Wait a minute. Who told that person about Christ? Wait a minute. Go up the tree. I know he's responsible. I understand I got saved at 11 years old at that church in front of an old green register. I know that. But listen, when it comes to me, who have I won that is winning others? Ron Brown, who was working with Pastor Skiver at the time, by the way, is not even in the ministry anymore that I know of, led this little brat to Christ. His fire's not out yet. Wait a minute. I go soul winning. Please come soul winning. Please come soul winning because your fire's going out. Please come soul winning because your fire's going out, Christian. Who's underneath you? We talk about Amway and all these pyramid schemes. Who's underneath you in the work of Christ? Who's now serving because you serve? Oh, well, it's all because of Christ. I know. Somebody got sent to that church. It was a man, Richard Skiver, because he went Oh, yeah, I know Christ sent him. I know Christ called him. I understand all that. But his fire's not out because it's burning in me. Oh, I know it's the fire of Jesus Christ. I get that. Who have I won? It can't stop with me. I can't just take this gift that's been given to me and not use it. I can't just take this gift that God has given me and let that coal be quenched with me. I can't let it stop. I can't let it end. I don't want you just to hear me read you the Bible. I want to make a whole group of Bible readers. And then I want you to make a whole group of Bible readers because of you. And you need to make this personal, Christian. You got to make this personal. Christ didn't save you to sit there. Christ didn't die for you so you can enjoy all the splendor and gifts of Christianity, all the mercy and grace and provision. He didn't save you for that. He saved you to serve Him and pass on the fire that burns in you. I don't just want to sing in the choir. I want to have more people come to sing because I'm there. I don't want to just sing a solo from time to time. I want other people to get a song in their heart too. Dr. Roloff used to always say, if you can't sing in the night, don't sing in the light. So I want to make people that are able to sing in the night. How am I going to do that? By singing in the night myself. Who are we raising? What are we raising? Is it dying in you? And this is what gripped me more than anything else. The lady says, if he was to die, the coal would be quenched. If he was to die, does it end with me? I'm so happy it's quiet in here right now. Because this is disturbing. It's got a hold of me. There's always two choices. You can do something about it, or you cannot. Oh, I understand. You may go out and win souls for the next 3 years and never get one that is a soul winner. But can I make a solemn vow to you? A steadfast promise that I guarantee you will not ever be broken. If you don't go out, you will not ever get one. If you don't care, don't worry, it'll show. And that's what we'll pass on. That's what we'll give to the next generation, Brother Rod. If we stop caring, that's what the next generation... Do you think the next generation is going to come up and say, well, I know they didn't care, but I will? Maybe. Are you going to take that chance? I'm just asking. Because I didn't want my name to end. That's so earthly. So worldly. So fleshly that we care so much. Think about this. And I hope and pray that you pass down names. I hope and pray. I like it. Juniors and thirds and fourths. I'm glad. I hope you have a whole bunch of them. But in the end of the world, passing on the name of Christ is a little bit more important. And I got to thinking in my own life, yes, I was able to make a son, but if my son does not have a son, the coal is quenched. If I can't reproduce reproducers, if I can't make somebody that is willing to go out and pay the price and pray, why aren't? Because I'm not. I can't make a prayer warrior if I'm not willing to be a prayer warrior myself. I can't make another soul winner if I'm not willing to go soul winning. I can't make another preacher if I'm not, and I know God makes preachers, quit looking at me that way, but I can't have another person preach if I'm not willing to tell the boy that God still does call men to preach. He still does desire men to take this Bible and hold it high and say, thus saith the Lord. Not worrying about the politics of it. Not worrying about the retribution. Not worrying about the repercussion. Just holding the Bible up high and saying, this is what God has said. Let all men be liars. Well, that doesn't preach very well, but that's the kind of guys I'd like to reproduce in my life. I want to make laborers for the cause of Christ. I want to show people that I can work. I'm not real excited about a guy that won't work, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not real excited about a fellow that's unwilling. There's some that are unable. Believe me, I know that. And I'm not saying anything against the people that are unable. I got a real problem with a fellow that just won't. And I want to show, listen. I don't know, I get this all the time. I don't know what to do in this church. Come see me. There's a job. The problem is we only want the job that we want. Maybe the job you want's not available. But there is a job available. What I would like to reproduce in my life is somebody that'll do the job that's necessary. I would like to reproduce people that would see a scrap of paper on the floor and pick it up. But I'm not going to get that done if I'm saying, Jimmy, pick up that scrap of paper. I'll get it done if I say nothing at all and just do it. I want to make a group of people that are, and I'm not, please don't take this like people are under me. That's not what I'm getting at. I hope you're not taking this wrong. We worry so much about how people see. What I want people to see is me not letting my coal be quenched. What I want people to see, and how many years I battled God, Brother Rod, over telling people about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Brother Dave, that's the dumbest thing. You're a preacher not wanting to tell people about Christ. You know what? I know I'm so bad, and I'm so happy that I'm in a group of people that never felt this way. But when I meet my refiner fire eye Christ, and I look at him, maybe, is he going to say, oh, well, it's okay. I know that you didn't want to go out soul winning that much, and you didn't want to tell people about Christ. You didn't want to uphold my word. It's okay. You think that's what he's going to say? To me, and I'm all done. I just wanted you to think today. That's really all I wanted. Does your coal end with you? Is it quenched with you? Does it end with you? Is it all done? How do we keep going if your coal is quenched? Who's going to come up after you? Well, what soul winner that I've won, what soul have I won that's out winning souls? I don't know if I can point to one. Well, what person is reading their Bible because I read mine? Does my coal die with me? Well, what other Baptist preachers are going to be out there because of me? Or does it die here? It may not be important to you, but I know it's important to him, because that's how he gets things done, through us. And if we're not willing to pass on that coal, who is? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity.